What is our identity in Christ? I am always freaked out when I hear about the statistics of how important dads are in their children's lives. Dads play such a huge role in a child finding his identity. It sounds like I'm in a cavern up here. I'm sure it's something I did mess you up here, but so I think about that and I get really scared. You know, this the whole responsibility of being a dad and how much impact you have on your child's life and all this. But then I take a step back and I think about the father that I have. You know, my earthly father's great. You know, I mean, I never once have ever wondered if he loved me. You know, I always know if I need anything, he'll be there. But I'm talking about God as my father. You know, God chooses to use that term in referring to how our relationship with him is. He is actually our father. And so, you know, I'm sure a lot of people haven't had the greatest father here on earth. There's sin in this world, and that's just part of it. you know, a lot of us haven't been the greatest fathers at times, too. But God is the father that does it perfect. And he's the father who actually has chosen us, adopted us to be his at a great price. And then he says, now let me name you. Let me bring you an identity. And so I want to look at Ephesians chapter 1, just the first 14 verses here this morning. This is a passage we actually looked at not too long ago. But I want to do something as we read through this. There's a little note sheet in your worship folder there. If you'll pull that out. You know, it just looks like this, and it has the passage on it. I want you to go ahead and pull that out because I'm going to ask you to do something as we read through this. I want you to grab a pen, pencil, whatever. And as we read through, I want you to underline or circle, whatever you want to do, each thing that we come across here that is how God identifies you as we read through this. So Ephesians chapter 1, starting here at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Father God, as we look at this passage, God, I just pray that your Spirit would speak to us, Lord, that you would give us a fresh, anew, a deeper perspective of who you say that we are, God. I just thank you for this time, and I just pray that you do you know, your work in our hearts during it. In Jesus' name. So we look here, verse 1. There's already two amazing things in here, isn't there? God says that we are holy and faithful. Now, if I was going to pick a couple characteristics to describe myself, those probably wouldn't have been the first two I would have come up with. You know, holy is, one meaning of the word holy is perfect. Another meaning of the word holy is set apart for God's purpose. But we don't typically think of ourselves as holy because we know ourselves too well, right? And that's usually not the first thing I would come to my mind, or anywhere in the top 1,000 probably, if I was naming myself. But God, through Christ Jesus, has taken our sin away and has given us His righteousness. And so God sees us as holy and faithful. God has made us holy and faithful. Verse 3, we see that we are blessed. Now, maybe you're going through some things in your life where you wouldn't come up with blessed if you were trying to identify yourself. Maybe that's not your first thought. Maybe that's, you know, maybe you're thinking, no, I don't feel very blessed. But we are blessed through Jesus Christ. Verse 4, we see that we are chosen, that we're holy. Again, notice that twice on the holy? Crazy. And blameless. You've been carrying around some sort of guilt. That song we just sang, right? Hello, my name is Regret, right? That's not who God says you are. God says that you're blameless. You're chosen. You guys remember when you were kids and you'd be like choosing teams to play, like at PE or recess or whatever, you know, and you always kind of wanted to be like the first guy chosen because that made you feel like you were cool. And you definitely didn't want to be the last guy chosen, right? Or the guy where nobody actually chooses you. They just say, okay, and you get him, right? Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. That's not how God views us. We're not leftovers. We're not, you know, kind of a last resort. We're chosen by God Himself, by the Creator. He chooses us. Verse 5, we see that we were predestined. That's a crazy concept to me. That God actually has chosen us before He even created us. I mean, that's amazing. That's like God's like, all right, I'm going to create this person, you know, and He's going to totally reject me and blow it, but I am going to already determine that I am going to go back and reclaim Him. How amazing is that? Even though He knows how flawed I am and what I'm going to do that's so stupid and wrong and, you know, hurtful to Him, He still says, yeah, I want you. Adopted. Adopted is a cool thing. I mean, you have a kid, you're kind of stuck with what you get, right? I mean, you know, you're going to get a mix of, you know, your genes, and then you're going to raise the kid to be something, hopefully, that's okay. But, you know, so, I mean, you're sort of at fault, but you're stuck with what you get. You don't get to choose, but to be adopted, that's like selected. That's like, okay, I want this person to be mine. And that's what God does with us. He's adopted us. And then the other one we see there in verse 5 is the word son. And I think it's significant that it says son because in the culture of the day, it was the son who received the inheritance of the father. And so he's saying, I've adopted you and I now give you the inheritance that would go to my real natural son. Verse 7, we see that we're redeemed and forgiven. What's it mean to be redeemed? What's redeemed? Not a word we talk about a whole lot, right? What is it? Yeah, you could redeem, like a redeem a coupon, right? Is to turn it in for something, right? But what, when God redeems us, what's that mean? Made new? You're way back there. What are you saying? To be given value. Yeah, see, God created us originally in His image, right? We're created in God's image. He puts all these amazing things in us of Himself. And then we kind of get it all messed up with this whole sin thing, right? And it gets kind of twisted and kind of fouled up. And then God comes and He redeems us. He takes this kind of filthy mess that we've made of ourselves and He turns it back into the beautiful thing that He intended us to be to start with. I love that word. That He redeems us is an amazing concept to me. So to be redeemed and then to be forgiven. To be forgiven. Any of you ever done something that you really just kind of wish you hadn't done? I'm sure none of you have, right? But, you know, on a few occasions in my life, I've done something that I really wish I hadn't done. And for somebody to come along and say, it's okay, I forgive you, is so huge. That's so amazing. And we could never possibly offend anybody more than we can offend God because He's the one who has given us everything. He's the one who has made us. He's the one who deserves nothing but greatness. Never done anything to offend us in any way, right? And yet He's the person who we've offended most. Because when we offend each other, we're also offending God. I mean, anything we do that's wrong, it's God who we're offending. And so for Him to say, it's okay, I forgive you, that's awesome. Verse 11, we see chosen, that we're chosen and that we're predestined again. Again, that word. See that? Two holies, two predestined. But that we're chosen. We already talked about that, right? Because that's in there twice as well. You guys seeing the pattern here? There's some things where God's really just over and over. These things are huge to Him. Verse 13, we're included and we're marked with a seal. Now, I was thinking about this whole concept of being included. And I was thinking, you know, we do so many things in our lives to try to be included, don't we? I mean, you look at kids in school. I mean, think back. How many kids do you know who kind of recreated themselves over and over and over again to try to find somewhere where they would be included? Included. You know, people join clubs and gyms and, you know, whatever. People want to be included. We all have this desire, this inner need to be included. And we do ridiculous things sometimes to try to fill that need. But God says, I've included you. Doesn't that feel good? Isn't that nice to be included? Isn't that nice when God says, I want you to be part of my group? I want you to come and hang out with me, to be part of what I'm... That's amazing. I mean, there's some people, you know, it'd be pretty cool to be included by, but none of them come close to being included by God. It doesn't get any better than that. And then that whole concept of being marked with a seal. We talked about this before when we went through Ephesians, you know, how back in that day, you know, the rulers would have their royal seal that they would stamp things with that would mean that this came from them, right? If they were going to send out a message, they would roll it up and they would take like some wax, hot wax, and they would stamp this thing, you know, seal it closed, stamped with their mark, and then they would send it out. And that way, when it got to the other end, the people would know that this message really came from the person who put their seal on it. That's what God does for us. Through His Holy Spirit, He puts His seal on us. God is totally and completely claiming us when He puts His seal on us. That's Him saying, "This is from me." That is both wonderful and scary at the same time, because I've been marked with God's seal. That means that when people read my life, that's supposed to be what God's saying. That can be a little scary, or a lot. But it's also a wonderful thing that that's how much God loves us. That's how much He's included and cares about us, right? That He's put His seal on us. And then verse 14, the last one we see in this passage is that we're God's possession. God's possession. So when you go through this list and you look at these things, these are things that we should know ourselves as. This list should be, if somebody was to say, "Who are you?" This should be some of the things that we think, that come out of our heads. Remember last week we talked about how it's the renewed thinking that changes the way we live life, right? That's God's whole purpose in this redemption process, in making us new, right? Is that He changes the way we think, so that we see ourselves, so that we see the world, so that we see Him the way that He sees it, the way it really is. And so our Father, our true Father God, says, "This is who you are." And of all the people who have the right to tell us who we are, obviously the Creator is the top of the list, right? We go through life letting all sorts of other people tell us who we are, don't we? You know, it could be the people at work, your boss. It could be neighbors at home. It could be friends. It could be people that you don't even know, people you don't even like. Right? We let so many people tell us who we are. We let so many people name us. But God, the Creator of it all, we don't stop and take the time to say, "Who do you say that I am?" Because that's what matters. And as I look down this list, there's not a single one of these things that makes me feel pathetic. There's not. I mean, like I said, I get a little scared with some of them because there's a little responsibility that goes with it, but none of these things make me feel bad about myself. None of these things make me feel inferior or unwanted, defeated, unimportant. But yet, so many times, that's the space where we're living our lives, isn't it? And the difference between living in that space and living in this space is letting God, really believing who God says that we are, right? That's the difference. It's that transformation of our minds. Get away from the brainwashing we've had since we were a small child, right? All the things, you know, whether they may have even come from our dads, right? Or they could have come from anywhere. I mean, throughout life, you have nothing but all these different sources feeding into you. And we develop this wrong way of thinking. And God says, I want to change that. I want you to see who you really are. You're holy, faithful, blessed, chosen, blameless, predestined, adopted, sons, redeemed, forgiven, included, marked with a seal, and God's possession. So I hope that as you try to spend some time wrapping your mind around these things, that it really changes the way that you feel about yourself, changes the way that you live, because when we know who we are, we don't have to constantly be striving for approval in all these other places. When we know who God the Creator says we are, and when we're truly confident in that, then we don't have to try to prove something to somebody else somewhere. We don't ever have to try to be something that we're not. And I think that's when we get to experience the victorious Christian life that we all want to experience, but so oftentimes eludes us. And it really starts right there. It starts with letting God identify us. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that you've loved us in such an amazing way, God. I thank you, God, that whether we've had a great father or a bad father here on earth, Lord, that doesn't change the kind of father that you are, Lord. You love us so deeply. You care so much about us, Lord. You never do anything for your personal gain in it, God, but you always do what's best for us. You give us exactly what we need, even when it's not what we want. It's just so wonderful that you invite us to call you Father. Thank you so much for that.